your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Mary Mead, and welcome. My guest tonight is Jason Miller. And Jason is an author, a teacher, and a sorcerer. He specializes in practical applications of sorcery and mind training that yield life-changing results that can be measured. Over the years, Jason has come to visit on the show to talk about his books like Sorcerer's Secrets, Protection and Reversal Magic, and Financial Sorcery. But tonight, we're going to be talking about some really interesting courses that are opening up on practical magic, on witchcraft, on strategic living. We're going to be answering chat room questions. We're going to talk about Monday magic and all kinds of good stuff. So if you're listening right now and have some questions for Jason about any of the topics that we're talking about, join us at paraxradionetwork.com. And those of you in the chat room, I don't have to persuade you because you're really good at throwing questions at us. All right, so we've got a lot of ground to cover. So Jason, nice to touch base with you again. And given that you're like really immersed in a lot of stuff lately, thank you for finding time to join me tonight.
Oh. Any time for you, Marla. You were there when I had just like one little book and was trying to, you know, claw my way into a career. So anytime.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you. That's really nice. That's really, really nice. Now, I usually ask my guests, and you know this, what they've been up to. But it would probably take the entire hour just for that alone. But, wait. Huh?
I've been up to stuff.
Yeah, you've been up to a lot of stuff, and we're going to get into it, but this is good. I got a chat room question right off the bat, and it's a two-parter, so brace yourself. they want to know, what is sorcery, and is it different from magic, and then what's the difference between a sorcerer or a wizard or a witch?
Well, so first of all of these words are really loose, right? So mm-hmm. So there's no one definition to witch, magician, sorcerer, or anything else. But they all have different connotations, right? So I've been involved in witchcraft, but there are a lot of people for whom witchcraft is a religion, right? And so you might not ever cast a spell. You might just be interested in the Sabbats and the gods and so on and call yourself a witch. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sort of more about practical magic. Similarly, there are magicians out there. I was on a show with one not that long ago for whom practical magic, like the magic that gets stuff done in life, they're not at all concerned with that, but they can still be magicians. They're all about Kabbalah and only spiritual growth. Now, I love spiritual growth, but to me, I want that gnosis, that insight to shine outward into the world. Mm-hmm. And so when I say sorcerer or sorceress or sorcerix, depending upon, you know, how you identify yourself, I'm not I don't think anyone thinks of a sorcerer as someone who doesn't do practical magic, who mm-hmm. doesn't do spells or rituals that are meant specifically to make stuff happen, either influence minds or events and that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's part and parcel. I am absolutely a spiritual person, and I'm absolutely concerned with meditation and mysticism and enlightenment. But for me, I want that to shine forth in, you know, getting stuff done in real world. So that's what a sorcerer is to me.
Okay. And the difference between sorcery and magic, you just kind of explained that it's, practical or yeah. fun or whatever, right?
Right. And so, you know, you'll find different anthropologists, for instance, might say, well, a sorcerer is someone who traditionally used pharmacopoeia. So in other words, somebody for whom powders or filters and things like this might have worked. But in general, we just mean someone who practices magic. And I think there's no mistaking that the sorcerer is someone who is practicing practical magic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. And I realize now, because I was thinking about practical magic, and I mean, I think that's the only time I do it. And it didn't occur to me just now as you're talking. I only do that when it needs something being done, you know. So, I learned something. Or at least I opened my one eye. I opened it today. The third eye opened up, yeah. All right.
One to three. I thought maybe you were like one of the Gray sisters with the one eye.
Oh, no. I don't think next lifetime I want to be a Cyclops either, so, you know, it's okay. But, you know, that third eye is pretty important, so I'm glad to have it at least up there. Okay, there's another chat room question. Can you please explain what strategic sorcery means?
Yeah. So, strategic sorcery is my business, it's my company, it's my class, but so here's the thing. We all know people that have done spells, right? You know, they do magic and stuff happens on a pretty regular basis. So if they're good at it, they can do spells a lot. And I, because this is what I do for a living, I'm in a position to talk to dozens and dozens of people every week who do magic. And there's a funny thing that happens. They do magic. They can say that their magic works. But a couple of years down the road, life isn't significantly better. They're still fixing stuff that's broken. They're not really moving forward in the way that you would think somebody who's been doing something for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years is. They're still chasing after getting laid and paid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So strategic sorcery is here to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not a matter of whether the magic works. Maybe it's a matter of actually aiming it at things that matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do all the spell work in the world that works, but if you keep aiming it on just stuff that doesn't really build upon itself,
mm-hmm.
or stuff that doesn't do anything more than keep a status quo, then you're not going to get anywhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
So strategic sorcery is here to say, look, it's not just about do the spell and then do the mundane work. No, it's a synergy between the mundane and the magical. You have to be able to make these ping off of one another constantly to get anywhere. So if magic influences minds and probability, like I said in the last question, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that the minds and probability that it's trying to influence is worth it, right? And it can be done. So every now and then people say, well, I did a spell and it didn't work. And so then they want to come up with any kind of crazy reason why it didn't work. Like, well, it did work, but the gods didn't want me to have it. or you know, because the gods are really, like, they're letting 1,000 shitty things happen to you, but they're going to micromanage whether your spell works or not. any cockamamie reason. When the reality is just they were trying to influence something that wasn't movable. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a little wand here that I got from Universal Studios, like one of those Harry Potter jobs. Mm-hmm. And I can take it and I can, like, wick it around my desk. I can knock my water over. I can knock over pens and flip my little He-Man figure in the air. It's great at that. But if I go outside and I try to move my Toyota Tundra pickup truck, I'm just going to break my wand. Mm-hmm. So strategic sorcery is about, like, just, hey, we can do magic, and that's mm-hmm. great. Let's also not be inept at life, because otherwise we're just throwing a bunch of really great magic at a really bunch of, like, crack approaches to life.
mm-hmm. That makes sense. You're really popular today. Another chat room question. and I think she's talking about strategic sorcery or maybe practical magic, but she says, how is this different from chaos magic?
Well, that's a great question. So chaos magic sort of postulates, for the most part, and let me preface this with, chaos magic is chaotic, and so different chaos magicians will adhere to different ideas of what it even is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But chaos magic kind of has this approach that what you believe about something is what is the most important thing. So in other words, from Star Trek might be just as good as Mercury or Hermes for getting something done in that sort of logical or communications kind of field. Sorcery says, well, no, hang on a minute. There's more here than just what we think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So chaos magic is kind of like selective belief, and you build it up. Sorcery is kind of like, well, no, there's freedom that maybe, you know, chaos magic was a recapturing of a little bit of freedom and a little bit of focus on results against the backdrop of the ceremonial magic and religious witchcraft of the maybe, you know, 60s through 80s and 90s. But sorcery is kind of saying, but no, spirits are real. You know, they're a thing. Making up Scrooge McDuck is not as good as a spirit of Jupiter. You laugh, but that's a real example from a major, like, chaos magic event was to get Scrooge McDuck to make them all rich. So, you know, there are elements like that. Chaos magic kind of says what you believe is really important. Sorcery says you don't have to believe in magic any more than you have to believe in your car to get it to start. Chaos magic tends to have this idea that we need some kind of wonky meta model that some people say spirits make magic, and other people say energy makes magic, and other people say it's the mind that makes magic. And so you've got all these competing models, and chaos magic came along and said, well, no, we have a meta model where one can simply engage the paradigm of spirits or the paradigm of energy and kind of shift in all of these. And what sorcery says is that's not really necessary, that all of this stuff just is part of the whole. So we don't have to engage a gas paradigm to make our car ride, as opposed to an electricity paradigm or an oil paradigm. Oil, electricity, and gas are all just part of what makes the car move. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, sorcery has a lot of the freedom, the focus on results, a little bit of the, you know, try it and find out that you find in chaos magic, but it doesn't have a lot of the wonky, you know, spirits are really just in your head and everything is what you think about it, that was popular in chaos magic. I like to call my view of the world chaonimism sometimes. So a little bit of that chaos like magic, that. But fused with animism.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. How, now that we're talking about chaos magic for a second, I mean, for many, many years, I never heard of it. Is it me out of the loop way back then, or is it something that's just kind of spilled into our world?
Oh, Marla, it was a thing, and then it wasn't a thing, and now it's a thing again.
Okay.
So chaos magic, you got to think of chaos theory in mathematics. So this is like mid-20th century mathematical thing. And then in the 70s, you had some folks like Frater UD and, God, was it Sherwin, Rob Sherwin, and most famously Peter Carroll and Phil Hine. They started producing first a magazine and then a magical order, the Illuminates of Thanateros. And some really good books that I highly recommend, Liber Chaos, Liber Null and Psychonaut, and so, you know, and Prime Chaos from Phil Hine, who is wonderful in the field. So they all came about in the 70s and 80s, and then it kind of reached its heights in the 90s. At which point, most occultists started to move away from it. A lot of chaos magicians found that, lo and behold, if they contacted spirits in more traditional ways, they were getting better results. And so they moved towards more traditional methods. But then things got kind of... we always take things too far, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we go from one extreme to the other. So we went from this kind of, like, chaos magic, nothing is true, everything is permitted, and, you know, let's invoke Scrooge McDuck because nothing is real, blah, kind of chaos magic into this hyper-traditional, like, if you don't do it exactly as it says in the Key of Solomon... won't be able to get the exact result that it says in the Key of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I always tell these folks, like, so you're getting the exact results in the Key of Solomon. And they will say yes. At which point, I invite them to fly to my house and make a castle appear in the air in front of the local town mayor. And they'll be like, well, no, those are, you know, that's code. And it's sort of like, right. So doing it by the book doesn't really produce that either.
No.
So we just kind of, you know, sorcery is kind of, at least how I view sorcery and how I teach it, is sort of saying, like, look, let's not run to these extremes. Let's just use our minds and our heads a little bit to think a little clearly about this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to become, you know, just bogged down in what we think of as tradition that really winds up just being whatever time period the person pushing this is fetishizing.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't need to move to the, like, everything new is better. And if I can say that it's meta and quantum, then that makes it all better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, sorcery is just sort of like, no, let's look at methods and examine them and work them in ways that make sense.
That makes sense. It does. All right. I got one more chat room question. Because we know that you don't just sit there and read books. Over the years, you have traveled all over the world, learning and being curious about and, you know, all that good stuff. So the question is, in all of your studying the different faiths and the interests and where you've been, which one have you settled into, or do you just kind of follow a bit from each one of them all, and which is like the most fascinating to you?
So, you know, I have been very blessed. I grew up in central New Jersey, in fairly rural New Jersey. But before I was 21, I had a teacher that was a Rosicrucian who was able to guide me through, you know, sort of the Golden Dawnish ceremonial magic, modern magic by Don Michael Craig kind of path. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had made contact with a root worker, an African American root worker who owned a shop called The Globe, one town over. And that was a conjure shop that was in the back of an African American fashion store. So I got to learn how they do magic and mm-hmm. how they worked with conditioned products and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also met John Meerden Reynolds, who is also known as Lama Vajranatha, the first Westerner ordained as a tantric Nakpa. He's like a sorcerer in mm-hmm. Buddhist sorcerer. And I also got to meet all manner of witches and so on. So I've been really blessed to have early exposure to deep roots in multiple traditions. And so for me to be true to my experience, I never just signed on for one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's necessarily wise to shoot for that.
Exactly.
And the thing is so funny is, like, in this day and age, it's almost hard to only be exposed to one tradition. It is almost hard to ignore everything. And why would you? You know, when mm-hmm. I think about the people that wrote the Greek magical papyri in the second century, and how they incorporated Jewish and Egyptian and Greek and Gnostic influences and traditions into their work, I have to think, my God, these people would have killed for the internet and killed for jet travel. They would have spared no expense to travel the world. And so, you know, have I put everything else down and spent time? Yes, absolutely. I have spent time exclusively doing root work, and I have spent time, years, in fact, exclusively doing Tibetan Tantra. Because I do think that if you're going to learn something, you should learn it from its own base and path until you achieve some kind of competency or adeptship in it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're kind of like walking into a kung fu class and saying, well, I already have a purple belt in karate, so I'm just going to do everything like we do in karate. You're not yeah. really learning, you're not going to learn kung fu.
Right.
But at the same time, the people who want to lock you down to a tradition, well, let's say that you then get into a street fight. Are you going to sit there and worry about whether you're using kung fu or karate exclusively, or are you just going to use what makes sense and what you're called to in that moment? So as I am now as a teacher, I have a course in Sorcery of Hecate, I have a source, a course right now that just started in the Tibetan Purba rituals. I have a course on Saint Cyprian, the famous sorcerer saint of mystical Christianity. And, you know, what I do, I've delved deep in, but I've been at this for 30 years. So one does tend to dip one's feet in more than one pool.
Which is perfect. Yeah, if you walk around with blinders on, it's a useless existence. You know, if you think one thing and that's the only way you think and you don't have an open mind and you don't want to learn, that's all I can say. All right, before we go to the break, I wanted to talk a little bit about next step spirituality because, you know, before I read that, when I saw the title of it, you know, Next Step Spirituality, I thought, well, it was might going to probably be some complex mindset orientation that would confound me until my eyes crossed, but I was so wrong. So talk about Next Step Spirituality, please.
You know, Next Step Spirituality, it's not even a thing. Like mm-hmm. anyone who wants to approach it can just approach whatever they're doing with this idea. But the idea, it came about through my Sorcery of Hecate class, which is always, people would always ask me, well, what does she want? Like, if she's doing this sorcery and she's giving us these tools to grow, what are we growing into? What is the final result, right? Mm-hmm. What is in terms of Godhead, what is the apotheosis, right? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be divine? And in Buddhism, of course, we have what exactly does it mean to be enlightened or to be an arhat? And different schools, right, they define these things differently. And they fight about them, like literal bloodshed over these things. In Christianity, what are the defining features of what Christ was and what to be Christ-like is? I mean, Santa Claus punched somebody in the nose over this at the Council of Nicaea. Arius, he punched Arius. So it's, you know, we all have this kind of idea of like, oh, well, what is the ultimate state? Because maybe we should know what that is before we head towards it. And do we really need to know, or do we just kind of know what direction we want to head in? Like, I know from where I am that I would like to be clearer. I would like to have a clearer perception that is less bogged down in attachment and aversion, right? Mm-hmm. I know I would like to be a calmer, more loving person. I know that I would like to have more energy and influence in the world. I know that, you know, the gains that I've had, I would like to continue making. I know that I would like to increase my financial holdings and to use them to make life better for myself and others. That's the next step. You know what direction you want to head, then figure out where you want to go, what the next step in that direction is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's next step spirituality, you know? If you're sitting in a Dharma center and you're worried about, well, you know, we Nyingmapa have this idea of emptiness, of final Buddhist enlightened emptiness, but those Gelugpa have this other idea, and what if they're right and we're wrong? Or what if these other people are right? You're worried about something you're not even close to.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're just worried about something that is so far off, or so far removed from your everyday experience, it's just not worth it. I always say, you know, there are people who are concerned about the head, the hand, and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The heart wants to know what things mean and how things feel. The head wants to know what things are, where they are, what they consist of. The hand wants to know what's useful. I'm a hand kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I want to know what to do and what's useful. I'm also a heart kind of guy. Like, knowing what this means might be good. But especially in matters like relating to cosmology or how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, I'm not very much a head guy. I don't trust the answers of, well, this is the way the heavens are structured and things like that. It just it's meaningless to me.
So, you know, and that's the thing, as you're talking, take it one step at a time. I mean, get the game plan going. Take one step at a time, because otherwise you're going to sit there and overthink and micromanage something that you don't even know, as you said, is even there. So you're just burning your energy out, you know, making yourself crazy, when it really is very simple. Make a plan, take the next step.
Figure out what direction would make you better, and going closer to what your ideal of enlightened or saved or whatever it is, and just start heading in that direction and exploring the tools available to take you in that direction. And don't get bogged down about the debates about the final stages, because the other part of next step spirituality is, what if there actually is no final stage? What if Buddha, Christ, every single being that has ever said this is the end point just was at a plateau? Just was at that point where they were like, all right, well, I'm not going any further, so this is the end. This must be the final and complete enlightened point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and let everybody digest what we've been talking about so far. And when we come back, there's a question from the chat room, and also want to talk a little bit about the new courses. So everybody sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Stirring the Cauldron, we'll be right back. So don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned. Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witches Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And for those of you who snuck in a little bit late, my guest tonight is Jason Miller, and we're talking about things like next step spirituality and all kinds of really neat courses coming up, and answering a lot of really good questions from the chat room. And so, Jason, I'm throwing the chat room question at you. She wants to know, how does magic fit in with modern technology, especially with the place of humans in the cosmos?
Oh, goodness. You know, how has it ever fit in? Like, it doesn't make it any less relevant. Nor do I particularly try to interpret magic through modern technology, but there are some things that are nice, you know. I use a lot of electric candles so that I don't burn my house down. I'm not saying I never use real candles, so for those of you who are like, you know, but what about oiling a candle and dressing it? Yeah, I use real candles too for that, but, you know, for just general lighting and ritual, an electric candle or even like those cool colored lights that can just change to whatever color you want, they are mm-hmm. awesome. That's good technology.
And you know what's best about them? I have tons of those electric candles here, and they all have a remote control. So you don't have to turn them on and off all by yourself. Yeah.
It's like waving a wand.
It's magic, yes.
But, you know, there is another level that I can think of. People have used, you know, magic deals with subtle forces. And so we've always used the language of our time to explain the perceptions in spirit and so on. So, for instance, you think about the way in which, say, they described the Akashic records, right? Mm-hmm. The astral or mental library, the record of everything that has ever happened. And it gets described as this library, this great library, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, say, the period of the 1800s where things started to get electrified, right? And there was all this movement of experimentation with Tesla coils and electricity and light bulbs and all this exciting stuff. And you started to see magicians talk about the magical fluid, like magnetic fluid and magnetism and energy. And this is also the time of radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And signal. And so people started to describe magic that way. And so now, instead of, say, a library, somebody might describe code that underlies, a website, right? Like, reality is what we see. It's the graphical user interface. But underneath that, there's a code. And maybe this is a better analogy for the mental plane or the symbol plane of symbol space. So, you know, we have these kinds of metaphors that get updated with technology. And there is also, unfortunately, in our community, some people who, because they believe in something that other people don't believe in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They then will turn and automatically disbelieve many other things. So you will, the unfortunate side effect is that sometimes you have some very anti-science people who in the magical community who they will spend, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on, say, a magical or an alternative therapy when there's a pretty good scientifically researched treatment or something. And they'll be like, oh, no, but that's, you know, they just want your money. And I'm like, yes, but all this other stuff was free, you know. So there's that relationship as well. But, you know, there's a dark side to everything.
Of course there is, because then there wouldn't be any light, you know, that old saying. Anyway,
suffice to say, I've had a lot of friends that are atheists that don't believe in magic, and they might assume that I'm like not very pro science, but they're wrong. I'm extremely pro science.
Mm-hmm. All right. okay, I'm just looking really quick for any more questions, and then we're going to start talking about stuff. So there is no more questions. All right. So I went snooping around, you know, to your website, and I saw that there were a few new courses about to begin as we speak, and looks like you're going to be doing a major juggling job, because even though they're not like the 52-week strategic sorcery course was, you probably still have a lot of things going on at one time, don't you? How do you eat, breathe, or drink?
Still out there.
Huh?
That course is still available.
I know. And then we're adding the Sorcerer of Hecate. We're adding the Black School of Sorcery, Cyprian, Jupiter. How do you do it?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the Strategic Sorcery course is an email course.
Right.
So when people first signed up for that, like, I'd be sending out those emails from my personal email account every week, you know?
Yep.
And I'd have to log everyone in and things like this. But the internet has provided entrepreneurs with some great tools. So now, Pete, you'll sign up for that particular course, and what'll happen is I'll get a little notification that you've signed up and you've started to receive lessons, one a week. I never even see them. And one of them will tell you how to join the Facebook group and the secret password. So I'll just pop over to that page a couple times a week, let everyone in who gave the password. And there's no Q&A element in that course. And so I've got a couple courses that like that. People can join at any time, just rolls whenever they want to. It's automated kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be part of a community, but there's not any structured back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other courses, Sorcery of Hecate, the Black School of Cyprian, the Sorcery of Jupiter, all these kinds of courses. These are courses where there are lessons that you receive one week, and then the following week I do a Q&A. And these can be anywhere from 45 minutes long to, I have done ones that are 4 hours long. Oh, actually, one was almost 5 hours long.
Mm.
Every other week, where I answer everything about the course, because these are intense. These are intensive courses that build one thing upon another. They can't be books, because people get books and they look at the book and they're like, oh, well, I'm going to flip to the middle and I'm going to try this thing out. And these won't work that way. They're a lot more like martial arts. You need training in the first part before you can do the second part. And so I have them broken up throughout the week, so that almost every day of the week I'm focused in on one or two of those courses and managing it, answering questions and doing it. But it's a full-time job now for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who are enticed by the idea of passive income or the 4-hour work week of Tim Ferriss. And I love that book, but Tim Ferriss doesn't only work 4 hours a week, I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was able to quit my day job and do this full time, my first thought was, how can I be of more service to people? And because that's how you make your business grow. You know, if you want more money, think about how you can be of more service, whether you're working for somebody else or for yourself. And so I when people would ask for things that I knew about that looked like they could be courses, I set up courses. Some other things on my website, they're like one-shot deals called Arcane Audios, where it's just one recording. So you go in, you buy it, and then you listen to the recording and the class and the Q&A, and you get it.
So,
and then, of course, I've got books.
Oh, yes, you do. And I mean, so there's a lot of things out there. Now, some of the courses that I saw on the website had dates when they were starting.
Yeah.
Others do not. And like you said, with strategic sorcery, that's kind of ongoing. So how do people find out about the courses? I mean, we can talk a teeny little bit, a little synopsis about that, but before I forget, where can they go to sign up? Where can they go to find out more information and all that good stuff?
Want to go to strategicsorcery.net.
That's the hub.
Where it all is. That's my website, and that's where it all happens.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, I noticed too, I mean, we talked about Hecate and Cyprian and Jupiter and all that, but I also saw there were, like, level up, you know, advances art of magic, and also take back your mind. And
yeah.
Those are ongoing, or they already were, and they're, tell me about it.
Well, they're ongoing. So they are, rather than email, I mean, you get emailed them, but they are recorded, so they're hearing me talk.
Mm-hmm.
But they also get PDF rituals and exercises with each lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, they're rolling admissions, so there's no like weekly Q&A back and forth. So people can jump in to level up anytime they want to. And if you have a question, they shoot me a question on an email. And I tell them, just put the title of the course in capital letters in the email, and I'll notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I prioritize that. I don't always answer email if it's somebody out of the blue who's like, hey, can you tell me about something?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I don't get back to everyone. I can't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for people in a course, if they put the course name in capital letters, they'll get an answer. So yeah, it's, you know, Level Up is about, it's the weirdest course I do. It's about these different levels of the astral, the etheric, the psychonoetic, the causal level, like peeling back layers of an onion, so it introduces the concept, and then it gives the magic that relies upon that level.
Mm.
Definitely my weirdest class. And then Take Back Your Mind is actually something that anyone could do, whether they're interested in magic or not. It's a meditation class.
Mm.
It's a mindfulness class. And I'm actually really proud. At the beginning of the pandemic, it's a $300 course, but at the beginning of the pandemic, so last March, I decided to make it free.
Wow.
So for people who got hit by COVID and it impacted their finances, I wanted to have something for them. But at the same time, I didn't want to run around doing like COVID sales and nonsense like that, which
Just,
you know, it's yucky in mm-hmm. my opinion. So it was just sort of like, you know what, this is free. Like if you're undergoing a tough time, meditation and mindfulness is the number one thing, in my opinion, that can help.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this course for free. Like over 1,000 people took it for free.
Wow.
And it was free for the full year. At first it was just going to be free for a month. Because, hey, we thought this pandemic thing was going to be not that big of a deal, right?
Right.
So a month went by, and I just kept looking around, and I just kept thinking, yeah, things are still sticky. So I just kept it. I'm like, I'll keep it for the summer. And then I kept it for the fall. And then I kept it for the winter. And finally, you know, after I got vaccinated and everybody else, like most of the people that were going to get vaccinated were vaccinated and stuff started to open up. Finally, a couple weeks ago, I said, okay, time to put this back on as a regular course. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That was good because people needed it and it was very timely and very generous of you to do that, actually.
I'm glad to. I did a couple, like I did a free arcane audio as well and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, I think it's important to do stuff for folks in need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of suffering out there.
Yes.
I charge for my courses, but I have, you know, on YouTube, you can Google strategic sorcery for the financially stuck, and you'll get a 2-hour free course in basically everything that I have to say to somebody who's financially stuck. So, mm-hmm. like, if you're financially stuck and you're like, but Jason, if the answers to my problems lie in one of your courses, tell me and I'll sell my, you know, whatever. I'm like, no, don't do that. Everything I have for you is in this free course, and the most expensive thing it mentions are like $20. So, you know, and that will remain free for forever.
Perpetuity or whatever. Yeah.
That's absolutely.
Really good. And the other thing, I want to talk about Monday Magic, because can people sign up and get, it's kind of a blog in a way, and a newsy thing altogether.
Yeah, it's a way for me to reach, you know, if you don't want to go to blogs anymore, this, I reach right up into your inbox and tickle you.
I like that.
So yeah, Monday Magic is, if you go to strategicsorcery.net, you'll find the link to sign up for Monday Magic. I would be lying if I said that I send one out every Monday. So if I was like a more consistent business person, I would, but I don't. Occasionally Monday Magic gets transformed into Thaumaturgy Tuesday because, you know, or Thaumaturgic Thursday. But usually if there's not one out by Tuesday, I just skip it for the week. Because, you know, we all have stuff to do. And this is a good way for me to reach people, let people know what I'm up to, but also something useful every time it goes out that's not connected to marketing and things like that. So it's not just like, you know, my marketing thing. Nor is it the free ebook. Originally, that link, if you look closely, the URL is like something like click here to not get a free ebook. Because originally that was like every site under the sun was offering, like, you know, sign up for my list and get a free email book. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Like, if you want to be on my mailing list, sign up here, but I'm not giving you shit. Like, be on it or don't be on it. Like, be on it if you want to get stuff to keep up with me, but if you don't want it, I'm not going to try to trick you.
Right.
Like, with some ebook that is probably going to just tell you in the end, go buy something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just, you know, I mean, I guess it's sort of like, I don't want you to expect tons and tons of free stuff. So just be straight with people up front. Exactly. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah. Question real quick from the chat room. Are the courses limited to a certain amount of people taking it at the same time? Is there a number?
Man, maybe they should be, but they're not yet. We had 200 people take the Sorcery of Hecate this last time around. And I'll admit, the Q&As, some of them were long. But, you know, that's a lot of great stuff, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there was like a 4-hour Q&A and I was like, okay, maybe 30 minutes of that was stuff that we could have skipped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say in the Q&A, like, come on guys, I went over this already, you know, or let's not ask the same question over and over again, read other people's questions. But, you know, it's amazing. Most of it was just really good, really on target. And so you get to hear not only the answers to your own questions, but stuff you never even thought to ask, because I mean, I teach some of these classes, and at least once a cycle, somebody asks me a question, and I'm like, huh, I never thought of it like that. Hang on. I'm going to hit pause on this recording while I think about this. This is worthy of some serious consideration. Wow. So, but there's no limit. There's no limit and there's no pressure. Almost all the courses get repeated right after the one ends. So, like, Sorcery of Hecate is ending, a new one is beginning. The Perba course I might not run again, at least not for a while. Some of the upper level courses, like Hecate, has 3 levels. So I might skip a few months before I run another 3rd level, just because of numbers, or doing other things. But in general, if people are like, well, I can't do it this time around, I'm always like, cool, there are other times. Mm-hmm. No problem. And if people join and then they can't keep up, because they are intense courses.
Yeah.
There's, no lie. I throw a lot of stuff out in these courses at people. And if you fall behind, I let people retake them for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's the other side of that. Like, right. There are sometimes, I always tell people who are retaking it for free, like, take a back seat. You already sat at the front of the class. Take a back seat. Let the new people kind of run the show. But if you have a question, pop it in. Follow along. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. And you were talking about taking in the heart and the head and everything. You've got a good heart doing stuff like that. And you put a lot of your heart into the courses as well.
People, for the most part, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody out there knows that there are people out there that are just out to cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are out to cause drama. Some people just want to be the center of attention. Some people are wackadoodles.
Yep.
And so, what happens? They get weeded out really fast. Because you're paying $100 a month for a course. So I'm happy to give you your money back if you just want to be there to cause problems. And people, most part aren't going to be doing that, paying that kind of money to go and be rude on Facebook to people. You can do that for free. So it's just one of those things, like, it attracts serious people, and serious people usually pretty kind to each other, usually pretty solid. And even if somebody is like, hey, that was a little rude, like, I'm going to delete that. And they'll be like, all right, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
People are, for the most part, really good, really competent, and we're kind to one another if you let them be.
Exactly. All right. We've got like a minute to go. Give everybody the website again so they can find you and track you down like a dog. Yeah.
StrategicSorcery.net.
Yeah, not .com, because people will hear the first two things, and I've done that before with something like org or net, and I just assume it's con, so yeah.
I should really just get the com at this point, but
no.
I forget what it was. The last time I looked at buying the .com, it was like owned by somebody that was just like hard to get a hold of, and
bah.
Nah,
stay where you are. All right, thank you. Thank you so much. The hour went really by fast, and I keep saying this, we don't need to do it every 6 years. We should do it sooner than later. So I'm going to hold you to this one this time.
You contact me and I will be on the show.
Well, vice versa. If there's something that you want to get off your chest and talk about, just give me a call.
I'll tell you what. My next book, Consorting with Spirits, is coming out next year.
Okay.
Spring 2022.
All right.
So let's see if we can do it.
It's a date. All right. Okay. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room for your really good questions and everybody that's listening in. And until next time, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.